Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Jesus versus Satan, Comparing the Two Commanders. And I want to ask you, why is Jesus a better commander of his soldiers than Satan is of his?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our King. Amen. Well, today we're continuing our sermon series on spiritual warfare of the Christian, and this is the final sermon in that series, and I'd like to talk with you today about Jesus Christ and how great it is to have him as our commander, to be under his commands, to have him as our king in the midst of this great war that we fight against sin and the world and the devil. And so today, let's take a look at him today, because any army on earth actually gains its inspiration and its courage and its strength from its commander. So let's gain our inspiration and our courage and our strength today from Jesus Christ, who is at the head of our army, at the head of his army, and talk about how great it is to be under his command and how great it is that he is our commander in this war. What can we say of that? Well, first off, let's just acknowledge and recognize again that he is the commander of the armies of the Lord. We can turn to Joshua chapter 5. Remember when Joshua is near Jericho, is walking along the road? Israel's about to begin their great military campaign in the promised land. And we read that Joshua was near by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." In other words, I'm assuming command. Jesus Christ is the commander of the armies of the Lord. You ever heard of the term Lord of Hosts? That means Lord of armies in the Hebrew. Jesus is king of the armies of heaven, the angels, and he's king of the armies on earth, that is, of God's people on earth. Listen to this other description of Jesus. Check it out. Who is at your head? Revelation 19. John says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And him who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." And he says how his eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name inscribed which no one knows but himself. He's clad in a robe that's dipped in blood, and the name by which he's called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses. From his mouth issues a sharp sword with which to smite the nations, and he'll rule them with a rod of iron. He'll tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you realize that this description is speaking about the one who is at the head of our army today, of the church? That's Jesus Christ. He is the commander. But we also need to understand that there is another commander on this earth, as you know, an enemy king, an opposing general, and his name is Satan. And all the world falls under the command of one of these two generals, one of these two commanders. You can't be like Switzerland in World War II and just declare neutral, that you're not going to take part. You're under the command of one of the two. And so let's compare the two, Jesus and Satan, and so that we can take heart today in how great is our great commander, Jesus Christ. Let's compare, for example, their origins. You know the origin of the devil? We could turn to Ezekiel 28 to read about it, and there I take this as being of the devil. Thus says the Lord. God says to him, "You are the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Carnelian, topaz, jasper, chrysolite, beryl, onyx, sapphire, carbuncle, and emerald. And wrought in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day you were created, they were prepared. With an anointed guardian cherub, I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. In the abundance of your trade you were filled with violence and you sinned. I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and the guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire. So, based on that being the origin of the evil spirit, Satan, what can we say about him? He's a spirit, right? He's an angel, and a very powerful one at that. But he's nevertheless just a created being. He is just an angel, and he's fallen. Now, let's compare that with Jesus Christ and his origins. Where can we look for Jesus' origins? Well, for example, you could look at Micah chapter 5, where it's talking of his birth. But you, O Bethlehem, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Now, when it says from ancient days, that word in the Hebrew, by the way, is olam, which means eternity, forever, everlasting. And so Jesus' origin is from days of eternity. In other words, he's not an angel. He's God, the eternal God himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so you have two different commanders here. One is an angel, a fallen one. The other is the eternal God. I'm thankful today he's my commander. Much rather have God than an angel. And therefore, we can take heart in our battle today, whatever your battle is against sin or the world or the devil. Numbers 23 says, the Lord God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. Isn't that great? Awesome. Well, second, let's consider how much greater Jesus is from the devil in terms of strength. How powerful is the devil? Well, he is very powerful. It says in Luke chapter 4, the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Remember? In a moment of time and all the glory of them. And he says, to you I will give all this authority and all their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall all be yours, says the devil. So how powerful is he? Very strong, right? Jesus, three times in the Gospel of John, calls the devil the ruler of this world. John 12, 14, and 16. And he is a great adversary. So one thing we can say today is don't underestimate him. But the second thing we can say is don't overestimate him either. He's just a created being. He's just an angel. And he is no match for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and John 14, I'll no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I go as the Father has commanded me, that the world may know that I love the Father. So how much power does the devil, with all of his power, have over Jesus? You answer me.
None.
Zero. Zip. Whenever Jesus shows up and fights against demons on earth, there's no battle. There's no skirmish. There's no fight. It's just a rout. He shows up, and with a word, they are terrified. They scream in terror, and he says, come out, and they run and go wherever he tells them. So don't be afraid of the devil's power, because Jesus is stronger. Jesus says of casting out devils, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when one stronger than he assails him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoil. Satan is a strong man. He's like a World Wrestling Federation guy with big bulging muscles, and he held people as prey in an arm lock. Jesus comes into the ring, just simply twists the guy's ear, he cries out for mercy, and lets the prey go. If the devil were a house cat, Jesus is a lion. They are by no means equal. And when it comes to our mission and living out our Christian life, Jesus says, don't be afraid of him. I'm with you. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations, for all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, therefore, go. And he gives us power. So that also is awesome that Jesus is by far the stronger. as to be incomparably so. And third, let's just understand the joy of to be in Jesus' army under his command because of his great heart toward his men. It's an entirely different story for the devil. Let's read about him again here in Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning at verse 15. God says, "You are blameless in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. I cast you forth as a profane thing from the mountain of God. The guardian cherub drove you out. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings." And so the devil is what? He and his kingdom, he is proud in an evil way. He is violent and he is corrupt. And certainly you know that. He's full of an evil pride. You ever meet these, all the evil potentates of the world, from Hitler to Herod, evil, crazed, nut job, overblown sense of himself, inflated ego, insane people? That's the devil. He's insane. He is, he thinks everything of himself. If he were a man, we'd just call him a jerk, okay? He'd be the worst you'd ever meet. For he looks down on everyone in his kingdom. Everyone's inferior to him. And he cares nothing for them except for how they might meet his needs. If you ever watched Archie Bunker, he once said, "I'm not prejudiced. I love all those inferior people." That's how the devil feels. He hates his people. He runs a horrible army. Powerful, yes, and united, of course. And as a commander, though, so goes his men. From angels to men, they all hate one another. They look down on each other. They see themselves as superior and others as inferior, and they vie for positions of power. And just like you might see in the business world, where one man might stab another in the back to gain the advantage sometimes, so it is in the devil's kingdom. It's cruel, and it's cruel to be part of his army. And you can see that in the world of men, those who are underneath his command. A violent kingdom it is. Jesus says the devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. He'll slay men, women, young, old, and babies. He doesn't care. He's a murderer. He's like the Nazis. He's like the Gestapo, a ruthless tyrant and a murderer. And if you serve him, he may promote you for a while. But he's just, as soon as he's done with you, he'll shoot you in the back. And he's promoted certain people throughout the world. And I think, just as an example, sometimes some of the rock star bands have admitted they've made pacts with Satan. And he promotes them with fame and money and sex and power and worldly glory. But it is only like fattening pigs until he slaughters you in the end. And you can see that on the tabloids, how he destroys them after a few years of using them. A murderer he is, who cares none for none but himself, and he's a liar. Jesus says when he lies, he speaks according to his own nature. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. He lies even to his own army, to his own men, and deceives them, and he still lies today. And just look, for example, at how he's worked in the media over the years, just in several decades, to erode the morals of the society. And he often appears as an angel of light, very deceptive, appearing good but working evil. He misnames things, like he takes the killing of innocent babies and he calls that a woman's right to choose. He takes same-sex marriage and he calls it, that's just freedom of expression. And he preaches day and night, night and day, all religions lead to God. But he'll deny that Jesus Christ is the way. And he slips in like a snake. Very deceptively into people's hearts and minds. They don't even know he's there. And most people in his army don't even know they're in his army. He's so deceptive. But it's a battle with real results. And if you believe his lie, it's like a bite of a poisonous snake. It'll kill you in the end. That's eternal death if you believe his lie. And Hitler once said, make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep saying it. And eventually the people will believe it. And so we have seen today. It's not for nothing that in Revelation 12 he's called the deceiver of the whole world. So he has an inflated ego. He's a jerk. He's a liar. He's violent and he's cruel and he hates this message I'm preaching to you right now, by the way. And he hates his men. But I'll tell you, it's not such with Jesus Christ our Lord and his army. Jesus said that thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I come that people may have life and that they may have it abundantly. I come to set the people free. And what is Jesus' heart towards his men? How excellent is it to be under his command? Well, think about this today, that he cares for all of his men, each and every individual, with all of his heart. He's full of majesty and dignity and splendor and glory and power beyond all comprehension, surpassing the devil. Jesus' face shines like the full sun in full strength, and yet he clothes himself with humility. He takes the low position. He's a humble king, though great. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, I'm lowly in my heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And you know how, even though he was equal, he was God, he did not count equality with a God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. And then he humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. That is our king. What a stark contrast to the devil. Don't you love this king? And his army is like him. Those under his command follow their savior, their king. And they also count others as better than themselves and serve one another in love and seek to promote their neighbor and his advancement. Both angels and men in Jesus' kingdom do this. And he cares for you. The Bible says he delights. God delights in the welfare of his servants. And he also especially cares for the poor. Think of the king standing there. He says, "Because the poor are despoiled, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I'll place him in the safety for which he longs. And the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. The Lord is righteous, and he loves righteous deeds." What a total contrast, right? Between these two armies, between these two kings, between these two commanders. And Jesus, unlike the devil, speaks the truth. And he always says what is honest and good and right. "For this I was born," says Jesus to Pilate. "And for this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And he never lies to his people. So he speaks the truth to his men. He is semper fi, always faithful, never to leave one of his own behind. Wow, awesome again. And so great is our commander Jesus' love that he even lays down his life for his own men. Now I'm going to use a bad word here, but I'm just quoting. General George Patton, the U.S. general of World War II, the great commander, not known for his delicate words, once said, "No bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country." But in truth, that's exactly how Jesus saved us. Jesus, our king, died for his country to save it. He died for you and me. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." A slave doesn't continue in the house forever. The Son continues forever. So if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And how did he do it? You know, if you can think of the devil's kingdom before Jesus came, like the great Nazi battleship, the Bismarck. Let me explain it to you. It was 825 feet long. It displaced 50,000 metric tons. It had 8 15-inch guns. It had 5 dozen smaller armaments. It was the most heavily built and largest battleship on the seas in the world in its day. It took down the pride of the British fleet, the HMS Hood, in one shot, sank it in 10 minutes because of its onboard computers. But then enter Lieutenant Commander John Moffat of the fleet arm of the British Royal Navy. Just after nightfall on May 24th, 1941, he and his squad of basically World War I biplanes flew in low over the water underneath the guns of the Bismarck and fired torpedoes, and they had a 1 in a million hit on the only vulnerable spot on this Nazi Leviathan, on its rudder. And it damaged the rudder such that all this great dreadnought could do was do small, slow circles until the British Navy caught up to it and dispatched it and finished the job. And in the same way, I'll tell you today, Jesus Christ hit the devil's kingdom in the one place where it was vulnerable, on sin. That's how the devil had power, and Jesus came to destroy sin's hold over us by his death on the cross. It is written, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus, our commander, partook of a like nature with us, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. He set us free at that cross." Like we saw in the children's message there, he destroyed the devil's kingdom, the balloon, in one pop, one destructive explosion at the cross. And he's delivered us, God has, it says, from the dominion of darkness, and he's transferred us to another kingdom, the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Jesus died and rose again. Now you believing on him are a co-heir, free, forgiven, justified. And now he not only saves you, but commissions you as a soldier in his army with these words: "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." And so where does this leave the devil's kingdom? Well, it's sort of like D-Day, Normandy. Jesus has come and broken Satan's hold on the continent, on this world. It is written, "The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." And then a loud voice, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He accuses them day and night before God." But did the Nazis give up when we landed at Normandy, the Allied forces? No, there was desperate and hard fighting all the way to Berlin. And such is the day of the church, Jesus pushing the devil back to his Berlin. It is written, "We've conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, for we loved not our lives unto death. Rejoice, O heaven, and you that dwell therein. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, for he knows that his time is short." Just like Hitler, he knows his days are numbered. And do we need to fear him, though, the devil and anything? No, as Luther's saying, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. The word of God, just speak it against him, and he shall fall." And we can take even greater courage in this fight, for God has given judgment for us against that evil commander. When the devil said in his heart in Isaiah 14, "I'll ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I'll set my throne on high. I will make myself like the Most High," God said, "But you are brought down to Sheol, into the depths of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. One day they'll say, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who would not let his prisoners go home? Ha! Look at him now. He's a big, fat nothing.' But of Jesus, God gave this judgment. He was destined before the foundation of the world to be our Savior. And when he humbled himself and became obedient unto death on a cross, God highly exalted him at the right hand of God, giving him a name above every name, that at Jesus' name every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in every place and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so take courage today in your fight, whenever you fight against sin or the world or the devil, because as Alexander the Great once said, the great Greek commander, "I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I am afraid of an army of sheep that's led by a lion." And Jesus Christ, my friends, our commander, is the great lion of the tribe of Judah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Jesus versus Satan, Comparing the Two Commanders, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to leave a comment on this message or hear more messages, you can go to ChristLutheran915.org. That's ChristLutheran915.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.